So today, we were singing that song, Build My Life. Was not Build My Life, was it? It was the one, yeah. And so, like, when Liz did this song, she did not know that the scripture today, put the scripture up. We're going to read the scripture together, and then it just turns out that this is the song that we're doing this passage. So this worked out really well. I love it. I love it when the Lord makes me look really smart. I didn't even think of this. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking a form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, here's the words in the song. Jesus above the name, above every name. Here it is. That at the name, can we say this together? So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Can we pray? Father God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this word. And we thank you for the name that's above every name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's so awesome. So here we go. Here we got the name of Jesus. And I'm going to talk about four things. Identity, authority, okay, glory, and family. All right, I want you to say it with me. Identity, authority, glory, and family. We're going to see this in the scripture here. Identity, authority, glory, and family in this passage. All right, so let's go back to verses 1 through 4. We did Simon Says, and the reason why I wanted to do it was because it's as we submit to the name of the Lord Jesus, we come into his identity. We come into who he is. So in verse 1 through 4, we're going to read this part again, okay, that it says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, look at this, you've got Christ first. If there's any comfort from love, and I would put the love in a capital L, and so that would be God the Father. So we have encouragement in Christ. We have comfort in the love of God the Father and the participation in the Spirit. So here we have three things right there in the beginning that tell you that God is one, yet he is unity. All right, let me say it again. God is one, yet he is unity. So Paul begins this passage about the name of Jesus with the fact is that you have to love each other. And even God himself has someone to love. God, the Godhead, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit loves another. Jesus says the Father what? Loves me, right? And Jesus loves the Father. And we love the Holy Spirit. So You know, the nature of love, to say this correct, to really be honest with you, there's no such thing as self-love, because love means to love someone else. It's always outward. It's in a direction that's out from you to another. So self-love is sort of like jumbo shrimp. It's kind of like an oxymoron. You know what I mean? There's no such thing as something gigantically small, right? You know, jumbo shrimp, right? Okay. If so it's the same kind of situation. And, you know, I'm not saying we should hate ourselves, right? But what I'm saying is that God himself is not selfish. His love is outward. Love goes this way, and it receives this way. God himself is unity, and he's plural in the sense that he is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or he wouldn't be love. Can somebody say amen also over? I like this section over here. God, if God would not be love if he was not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because you can't sit there and love yourself all the time. Like he's not sitting on the throne going, you are such an awesome God. You know, before he created the heavens and the earth, right? And if he's love, and before he created the heavens and the earth, who would he love? Right? Yeah. So there had to be God, plural in the sense of unity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He always was, always is, always will be. And before he created anything else, there was love going on the throne. God didn't start loving when he created the heavens and the earth. He is love.
Amen.
He is love. He always was love. I am love. Amen? This is so important. This is so important. This is why we need to see that if you are committed to a life of love, you cannot be selfish. Okay, I'm leaving now. I know you're going to get me. You can't be selfish. And we live in a culture that is getting more and more and more selfish. When I first started this preaching thing, I never heard of something called a narcissist. Never. Never heard of it. To me, it was a kind of a something you knew about in a dictionary definition. But now that's all you hear about. Right? Am I right?
That's right.
People that are like narcissists, who was that? This Greek god that was so in love with his reflection that he fell in the water and drowned. Do you know that? That's the truth. That's the story. He was so in love with his reflection. You're so awesome. That he falls into the pond and drowns. Because he wanted to he was so into himself. He was taking a selfie and died in the process. I guarantee you, there is somewhere on, what is that thing where people do really dumb things and kill themselves? I forgot what it is, but there are Darwin Awards. I believe there has to be a Darwin Award given to someone who took a selfie and somehow killed themselves in the process, like taking a selfie on a railroad track and a train hitting them or something. You know, something has to happen. I guarantee you that happens somewhere. I don't know where it is, but wow, they're on their phone. Yeah, into. So I want you to see something here, that the name of Jesus that's above every name is the name of the one who is a part of the love God. And Paul begins the passage on the name of Jesus by talking about love. Because you cannot have authority without knowing who you are. You have to have identity before authority. Say that with me. You have to have identity before authority. And your identity is not the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. That's the unholy trinity. Me, myself, and I. That's from hell. And God has given us identity that is just as plural as God is plural. You got that? In other words, we can't walk in love without encouragement in Christ, comfort in the Spirit, and participation. You know that word fellowship, koinonia, means literally to participate. That means that you are a part of something. And there's obviously a trend in the flesh and in churches where people do less and less participation. They just don't participate anymore. If they go to church, they just sit there and stare with the blank face. Or the blank face that they're... But they're in church, but they're like this. They're not participating. They're not participating. And participating, and then did you notice that Simon says, right, is an action game. You have to participate if you're going to listen to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Come on now. Amen. You got to actually do it. You don't just go, Simon says, jump, and you go, yeah, I'm jumping in my heart. Out. I'm jumping in my heart. You know, Jesus will tell you, go give that guy a meal that's really hurting. In my heart I am. I'm blessing him. I'll pray for him. You see what I'm saying? There is an action of love that we need to see that it's outside of us. And it's also active participation in the Spirit. Do you see the participation is in the Spirit? You've got a comfort in love. That's God loving on you, right? And you loving on God. That's comforting. But then you've got the activity of the Spirit. You know, like, you got to get there and you got to be active. You got to get out there. Like, you know, I heard that my sister lost one of the most important thing people in her life. I'm going to get in my car and go there. If I can do it, I'm going to do it. And there were a lot of people doing that. There was a, wouldn't you say that there was a fellowship of the Spirit in that church? You could feel it in the room. It was just in the room. Everybody was there. And the Spirit of God was there. And it was beautiful. And that's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that you're there. You're participating in the comfort of the Lord. And you're getting encouraged in Jesus. But you see, it's a plural thing. It's not a single thing. Yes, God is one, but He is unity. It is unity. So it's very, very important. And I was a math teacher. And you know, there's cardinal numbers and there's ordinal numbers. And you know, you've got numbers that describe one thing. And then you got numbers that describe the order that it comes in, right? First. So you got to see make sure you get this. Okay. So identity is a corporate thing. It's not just an individual identity. I want my bro Kenny to know who he is in Christ, but if he doesn't know who he is in the church and in his family, I have failed him as a pastor. Because he could be, in the middle of the desert, the most wonderful person. But have you know that, you know, like someone said it like this. They said, I thank you because you're teaching me how to love. When it's hard. You know, if we weren't for one another, we wouldn't know how to forgive. Yeah. Well, not that. Yeah. Right? Because you have to be a, you have to have someone sin against you, right? To, and so you need, we need each other to be more like Jesus, right? In the positive and the negative. You know, we need each other because I'm not going to be more like Jesus if everybody treats me perfect all the time. Or if I isolate myself so much that nobody can get to me. Oh, ooh, I felt some toes crunch on that one. Ooh, did you hear the cracking? Well, I'm just going to live my life just by myself and hardly know. I won't worry about getting offended. I won't worry about struggles. I won't worry about treating me bad. I'm just not going to be around. I'm just going to be me and Jesus and my TV and internet. Praise God. I'm going to live the victorious Christian life watching TV and never having to deal with anybody. John Peterson's going to come and minister to your feet at the end of the service. Right, brother? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't this America? Yeah. Come on, it is. Oh, man, I can't, getting off on this. I'll never get through this message if I keep going like this. Wow. Okay. We have no identity without love. Love is our identity. I want you to write this down, engrave it on the palms of your hands. How do I bring you to your identity? It's love. It's the fact that you are an amazing person, Heidi, and you love people like amazing. I just amaze me how you love your cat. I mean, just even your cat. I mean, and you know what I'm saying? I mean, people, there's so much care, love, and character. That defines that person. Like if I, like I meet somebody and I'll see how they care about people, that tells me who they are, right? That blows you away. You go like, wow, I cannot believe how this person expressed love. And that just makes them so them. You hear what I'm saying? That just identifies you as a person. And we can all love and all be individual, right? But yet we can love in our own way. Like, you know, like when I married Mary Ann, she loved me when she made this amazing meal that her Aunt Nellie taught her how to. I said, that lady loves me. And I loved what she was doing, and that made me very special. How many of you know that hospitality is an expression of love? How many of you have been blown away by hospitality? Come on now. Let's be honest about someone who just has that ability to love you in hospitality and you're blown away and you're just done after that. You're done. It's over. It's over. You've just been. And how many have been blown away by the love that comes with just kindness and the ability to listen? And like you're getting loved on because that person is actually sitting here listening to me rant and rave and be stupid right now. Come on. That's a gift. That's love. I mean, it's nothing for someone to listen to you when you're being awesome. But I mean, when you're truly being stupid and idiotic, someone listens to you and cares about, then you're going, that's love, man. I want somebody like that in my life. Come on. That's when you need them. That's love. It's the Trinity. It's something that happens with all of us. But we need each other. It needs to be. But our identity is love. So don't let anybody try to create an identity in you other than love. It's not God. It's not who you are. It is not, you know, it's something created by man. It's an idol. We don't want to worship an idol. We want to worship. We want to be the identity of love in our lives. This is who we are. Yes. Amen. Praise God. And that identity flows out of love. Now, I want you to, you don't have to turn there but I'm going to read out of Mark 12. And you all know this passage. That's why I didn't necessarily want you to turn there. But it's about the greatest commandment. Okay. And I want to nail this down because it's the foundation of the other keys. Of the name of Jesus. Okay, so we've got identity, authority, we've got glory, and we've got glory and family. So the glory and family are going to come quick at the very end. So I'm kind of laying this foundation here. Mark chapter 12 says that one of the scribes came up and heard them arguing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked them, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, he's declaring the Lord is one in the midst of a big argument. So think, nobody's acting like they're one right now, right? And then Jesus says, the Lord is one. The Lord's one. You guys aren't one right now, but he's one. Because you're just doing nothing but yelling at each other. That's family, right? Okay. Then he says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and with all your strength. Four alls. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I think this is a very interesting concept. Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? And he gives them two.
Oh, that's interesting. Give me the best thing that you have, and then you give me two things, not one thing.
Because if you think about it, now think about it. I'm going to make you think today. Sorry. Here we go. If God says, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and all your strength, whatever, those four things, right? It's all between you and God, right? But Jesus slips in the second one. When you ask for one commandment, he gives you the second one, and that's the hard one. Love that person over there. Because you can't love God without loving people.
Amen.
You see that? So you've got four alls and one as. And if you don't do the as, you make an A-S out of yourself. Yeah, a donkey. Four alls, one as, but if you try to leave that as out, you make an A-S out of yourself. And that means you don't have it all. No, you don't have all love for God if you don't love your neighbor. You can't love God. You cannot love God without loving your neighbor. There's one great commandment, that's two. There's one great God, that's three. Awesome. We don't make sense, do we, Christians? We don't make sense. We have to love outside of ourselves in our identity. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay, I got my point. That's cool. Now we're going to go on to the next part. By the way, that shut up the arguing, and no one asked questions after that. And now I'm going to talk about the keys of lordship, and that's in verses 5 through 8. So let's go to verse 5. Okay, so now we have the love and identity in verse 4. That's what we do if... Everybody say if.
Yeah.
If. That's our choice. So the verses 1 through 4 in Philippians 2 are the choices that we make if there's any encouragement. Notice not guaranteed. If there's comfort, that means you got to step into that comfort. If there's participation, no one is going to drag you out of that chair. Well, maybe. They might just drag you out of the chair and make you dance. But, you know what I mean? You got to dance. You got to jump. You got to shout. You got to say Jesus is Lord. You got to do it. No one's going to do it for you if there is. Now we come to the Jesus part in verse 5. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And we're going to see these verses. Let's go through them. This is all that Jesus did. So what we have is the if verses in 1-4. And then this is what Jesus did in the next verses. What did he do? Well, he was in the form of God, did not count equality a God a thing to be grasped. That's authority. Now, we're talking about authority. These are the authority verses. Well, that doesn't sound like somebody taking authority. That's right. You're right. If you want authority, you don't take it. You receive it. Ooh, let me say that. Thank you. That encouraged me. Thank you so much. If you want authority, you don't take it. You receive it. He did the opposite of taking authority. What did he do? He took the form of a servant. He didn't try to take his authority. Ooh, ow, ah. He took the form of a servant and God gave him authority. I'd rather receive authority from God and walk in it than to take something and like it belongs to me, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I deserve it. Okay, and I want you to see what I'm saying here. He emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. This is what Jesus did. Next. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to a point of death, even death on a cross. So that's the next part, okay? So this is the last part of authority. How do you humble yourself like Jesus did? He humbled himself by being obedient. Simon says, jump, you jump. Simon says, walk, you walk. Simon says, go help somebody, even if they don't want you, do it. Jesus, go minister to these people. They're going to kill you anyway. Okay, Father, do it. That's obedience. He went and did something that cost him out of obedience. Humility is entered into by obedience. How do you know who has the best authority in any room? Find out who is the person who is the most obedient, and you'll find out who has the biggest authority. The way up is by going down. You just, you know, I could tell you so many stories and illustrations about great people in the world that found their greatness by starting in the mailroom. I mean, in the business world, I'm telling you, heads of great successful corporations started by being the guy who carried the mail, who did the jobs that nobody wanted to do. Come on. Who just got coffee or did hard work. Like the one story I heard with one great man is he came into a brickyard and they said, move that pile of bricks over there. And he just moved the pile of bricks over there. After he finished working all day, sweating, wearing himself, moving the pile of bricks, guess what the boss asked him to do again? Move those pile of bricks you just moved over there now. He wanted to see, was there going to be complaining? Was there going to be attitude? Like, you know better? Isn't that arrogance, right? Pride? You know better than God. Come on now. You know better than God. You know better. You know how to do the job better. You know what's going on better. Why should I be doing that job? That's not fair. Come on. There's the word fair comes out. Watch out. Well, it ain't fair. I'm not going to do that. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not asking you to hurt. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between abuse and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spirit of obedience and a spirit of humility. If you call the shots, you're not going to have authority. I'm telling you, you will not have authority because authority is given, not taken. No one will give you the keys to the car that you're going to wreck. It's the truth. I mean, the keys of the kingdom in Matthew 16, right? That came to Peter. Why did Peter get the keys to the kingdom? You know, the keys of the car. Why did he get them? Because he said, Jesus is Lord. And I feel like the Lord spoke to me a couple months ago, and I haven't really released this word, so I'm releasing it now. He said, there are many American people who do not know how to bend the knee to Jesus. They'll open their mouth in confession, but they won't bend the knee.
Come on. That's true.
If you don't bend your knee in confession and you say Jesus is Lord, but you don't bend the knee, God will not give you the keys of the kingdom. And you'll confess your way all the day long. It will not do it. And he'll turn to you and say, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and not do the things I tell you to do? I don't want to be in that place on Judgment Day when the Lord comes, when I come to the Lord and he says to me, why did you say, Lord, Lord, and didn't do what I said? You see what I'm saying? Is this clear? I mean, you know where the scripture is. There is a single person here that doesn't know where that scripture is. So we have to have this attitude in us. Let this attitude be with you in Christ. You know, that's an attitude. It's not so much a mind, like a thought, like rational. Because the moment you try to start figuring some things out with God, you get in trouble. Do you realize that you don't have to understand God to obey God? Someone else say amen to that. You don't have to understand God to obey God. What if Sophia had to understand everything you told her to do before she did it? You'd be insane. Why? She's a child right now. Is that bad? No, it's good. Kids are cute. They are incredibly lovable. God loves us even when we're immature. That's okay. He loves us a whole lot more. We get a lot more cuddles when we were immature than as we get older.